You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Reginald Atatula here alongside the OG John Lopez. Figgy Fig back in the studio. You know what time it is. Houston Methodist Training Center. Houston, Texas Training Camp 2025. I feel like you should get used to this, man. It's August. We are in the month where football really, really gets going. Make sure you pay your rent and your mortgage. How you feel?
Oh, that's right. August 1st.
How you living?
I am living great. A little overcast, a little breeze, not as hot as usual. So, hey, here we go. And it's pretty lively practice here already.
Lively practice. It'll be a lively day here on In the Loop. A little programming note. Second segment, we will talk to the team owners of your Houston Texans, Cal and Hannah McNair. So get ready for that. And I don't think that they can be outdone. But if they could, I think the person that I imagine a lot of people want to hear from is the offensive coordinator of Houston Texas, Nick Caley. So we'll talk to him as well.
Is that all we got? Just the owners and the offensive coordinator?
deadline day was yesterday, so we got to talk about that as well. A lot of things to get to, but of course, we've started days out here on the practice field with a little bit of passing thoughts.
Let's do that. I will tell you a story. All right, Reggie, first passing thought. I never like to bury the lead. Let's go with the big sweeping takeaway here. I'm this close. And in two of the last three plays, it's reinforced my thinking of being this close, of calling this an elite defense that might end up being one of the top one, two, three in the league. They are just amazing. Like the way they get the ball, the way they wreck the offensive line of scrimmage. It's not just, oh, the offense is behind and all this other stuff that we've talked about and speculated on, because even in 7-on-7s, which is going on right in front of us right now, let's see what happens, you know, when we get into these preseason games and obviously early on. This defense could be really, really, really special.
I mean, it should be really, really special. I hate to be somebody who puts undue pressure on this defense, but I don't know that I'm putting anything more than they have put on them upon themselves.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this should be. Mm-hmm. You look at all the pieces that they have. We talk about it. I mean, there's a lot of places where if we look to find a weakness, maybe we find one, but you compare that weakness to other defensive weaknesses on other teams, and it doesn't compare. Like, this should be a very good defense, and especially on 7-on-7, like, this is where I will do the thing where I try and pour a little bit cold water on what you're doing here. 7-on-7, this defense is built for this. Because if I'm not happy to worry about what you're doing in the run game and I can just cover, this is a coverage team, and this is a takeaway defense. So, of course, I would expect
such
things.
But even in the 11-on-11s and full pads, I was reminded of something that I forget which coach. Some coach told me when Von Miller was at A&M.
Some coach.
I forget who it was. It might have been Sherman. Was telling me, we can't even – he ruins practice. You know, like Von Miller just ruins practice.
How many of those guys do the Texans have right now?
That can ruin practice?
Yeah.
Six? Seven? That's what it reminds me of. So, yeah, I think they could be really, really special. I'm really looking forward to seeing them in games. All right, another couple passing thoughts here. Mr. Mollette. In a white jersey today. How about that?
Clap it up.
Arthur Mollette in the white jersey.
So 22 in white now, no longer in red. I'm going to try and keep an eye on him, especially once we get to full team, because, again, physicality that is necessary for that spot that he's going. I imagine that he is sitting behind Jalen Petrie. That's going to be very important. In fact, I got my eyes on 22 in white right this
morning. Yeah, he's running the slot. Another passing thought for you here. And this is something, you know, we have casually mentioned here and there, Jakob Johnson.
Yes, sir.
So I was watching, I said, I'm going to watch the tight end some more. And I watched him in the individual, in the run on air, all that stuff. Jakob Johnson was running with the tight ends in all the individual drills. Not the fullbacks who were on the other side of the field or up the field.
Were their fullbacks separate?
The fullbacks were – no, it was he and four tight ends, four or five, whatever it was. He was with the tight ends today, so, maybe getting some reps at that position.
Oh, with
well.
The running backs, you mean?
Yeah.
The
fullbacks were with the running backs. And Jakob Johnson was with the tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's we've maybe beaten this one down a little bit. They're going to utilize him, it seems like, as a tight end, but a guy who I imagine has the opportunity to do fullback like things.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited to see how they continue to utilize him. But yeah, no, I like the way that what I've seen from him. He moves pretty fluid. I have not seen enough of him with the hands to be able to make any level of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, I think that at the very least, that's going to make opposing defenses have to consider yet another thing if you come out in a personnel that, in theory, is two running backs and all of a sudden that dude is lined up wide.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And just an update, they are now going full bore, 11 on 11.
Let's go. Looks
like red zone. We'll keep you up to date on that. Next passing thought, about 15, 20 minutes ago, they were going 7 on 7 passing drills on this side of the field, and then you were on the other side of the field.
Was that 7-on-7 over here? I thought it was 1-on-1s.
Well, it was. They were using every position, but it was 1-on-1s. 7-on-7 they just did, just trying to go, you know, 1-on-1 versus the secondary. They were using all seven positions. They were just rotating, is what I should have said. Nico Collins versus Derek Stingley. They each won a magnificent rep against each other. It was like Nico Collins, you can say what you will about it. They can ruin practice and all that, but he still got it. But the best, I guess, battle by far was Jalen Petrie and Christian Kirk. And I actually came away from it very encouraged with Jalen Petrie. Christian Kirk, you know, got him twice on some really, you know, well-fought-out balls, you know, that Petrie had a shot at, but Kirk made the catch. But Petrie also had an interception. And broke up another pass. So, Jalen Petrie, those pass covering skills were put to the test with Christian Kirk.
That's good. I mean, look, I think that's something that people have concerns about with Petrie, or maybe concern isn't the right word, but you know, have that coverage be there, and that is where the iron sharpens iron of this all comes in. It's good to know that he had some good reps defensively.
Yeah, and Jalen Noel was another that stood out. I'm interested to see what you saw on the other side of the field.
Yeah, on the other side of the field, you had some running backs, you had some fullbacks, which made it really fun against maybe linebackers and safeties. Number 22 in your program in blue, who mm-hmm. is that?
Jawar Jordan, yeah.
Jawar Jordan and EJ Speed had a little bit of a – they seemed mm-hmm. to match up against each other, and – hey, there was one of those reps where Jawar Jordan gave EJ Speed. He left him in his dust. Like, he just absolutely left him. Easy pass in the corner. There was another one that was broken up. I got to admit, I had my head down as I was taking note. I look up, and I see that the play was broken up. I didn't see exactly what had mm-hmm. happened, but I imagine that is a testament to EJ Speed in that case. So that might have been a one that went back and forth. Another one is I will continue to wax poetic about Woody Marks in his pass-catching era.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that he was capable of doing that. It showed out. Like there was one of these plays, and, of course, it isn't completed, so I want to, you know, put that out there. But he lays out like a wide receiver going to get the football. And I know that could maybe be viewed as a small thing. When a running back has
that kind of skill,
that is going to bode well for your usage. I mentioned tight ends. It felt like Cade Stover got the Kalen Bullock matchup a few times. And, man, Kalen is very, very good. This is no knock on Cade. He got out there and he was running a route. He had a good amount of wiggle, you know, pivot. Kalen is with them like white on rice and then ultimately breaks up the ball, but not in a way where he gets out of position. Right hand, kind of around Cade in case that ball gets through to still be able to make the tackle. Perfect breakup. That was fantastic. That was a large amount of what was happening over there was those things. And I think that One of the things that I complained about with Dalton Schultz popped up again.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up with like a little bit of a hitch route ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
He can't get that ball in with the guy on his back. And I'm like, I need you to be able to protect that on a simple route like that.
Yeah.
You get to your spot. You present yourself to your quarterback. You're between that ball and the defender. Keep yourself between that ball and the defender. Now, of course, the defenders on this Texas team are good.
Right.
But I need Dalton to be able to do that.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Another couple here for you before we are joined by Cal and Hannah McNair in just a matter of moments. And that is, look, it's worst case scenario. You don't want to see it happen. Knock on wood. Get all your good luck charms out, et cetera, et cetera. But I had a thought as I was watching Davis Mills, who we haven't talked about a lot, but has had a very good camp.
Yes.
Davis Mills has had a very good camp. And my thought was this. The defense being this good, and again, heaven forbid anything happens to C.J. Stroud, I don't think the drop-off is – there's going to be a drop-off, but I don't think the drop-off and the opportunity to win is going to be that drastically affected with if Davis Mills has to go out there. You know, if he just does what this offense wants to do, run the ball, be safe, you know, nothing too crazy, and the defense gets you short fields – I think, you know, the backup plan here is significant.
No, I think he could throw the football pretty damn well. He's been the one who's made the more kind of flashy passes out mm-hmm. here at training camp. The only question that I have, we've talked a lot about CJ internalizing all of the responsibilities of quarterback mm-hmm. in the system. I have no idea what that is for Dalton Schultz.
Right.
Or not Dalton Schultz, goodness gracious,
Davis
wrong person,
Mills.
Davis Mills.
But he has some experience with this type of offense.
He does.
Yeah.
And so I'd be very interested to see how much he's able to do that portion of it. But when it comes to the things that, you know, that we can actively see in this moment, yeah, he's absolutely capable of stepping in and I think doing everything that you need to admirably.
Little side note, as I'm standing on the other side and some coaches are coming out on the field, I heard some Astros talk from a couple of coaches. I was like, yeah, it's resonating. We're going to get to that here for sure in today's show. But I was like, oh, boy, that's how you know you got a big deal. They're out walking on the practice. Hey, man, see, they got Correa, you know, or whatever.
Man, the city is buzzing. I've seen it a number of times here on the text line. And, of course, you can always text to get in on the program, 713-572-4610. Number of folks like, hey, what a great time to be a Houston sports fan. And we've said it a number of times this year, but it only keeps getting better and better. Like just yesterday, in addition to keeping up with the trade deadline, I'm watching Jabari Smith Jr. on the Young Man in the Three podcast mm-hmm. talking about, you know, the places that they are. I'm watching ESPN's NBA coverage talk about the Rockets being the second highest or the ranked number two in the power rankings for them for the offseason this point, or headed into the season. That's before we talk about the ways in which the Astros have, you know, equipped themselves to go and make a run. Nah, what a great time to be a Houston sports fan.
One more for you here, and I say for you, it might be specifically for Ron, the show, Hughley.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that the right tackle position is now Ariante Urcery's to lose. He's getting the vast majority of reps. We see Davis Mills and the presumed second group right now. Blake Fisher is with them. At right tackle. I really believe Urcery is doing, and obviously long way to go, haven't even played a preseason game yet, but I think he's doing all the things to sort of rest that position in his grasp.
Yeah, I have nothing to counteract that. It does feel like all of the signs that would point to somebody holding that position point to big number 79, Ariante Urcery, who I hope that we get a chance to talk to or hear from here soon in the Assemble Media, because again, he's starting to get that vibe, he's starting to get that love. And I think Figgy, I would grant you a point on that one. Does that feel like that's right?
Yeah,
I think so.
Before we go here, because we got to take a break, get ourselves ready to talk to the owners of this Texas team, Cal and Hannah McNair, here in a second. I got one more passing thought that I held off
mm-hmm.
for you out there on one-on-ones on that end zone, the north end zone of things. You want to know who this Texans team could go to as quarterback if maybe Davis Mills or C.J. Stroud.
The only emergency?
Here's an emergency quarterback that's out there. How about Nick Caserio? Caserio was throwing some footballs over there in one-on-one drills.
I thought he was a receiver. Was he a receiver or quarterback?
I thought he was a receiver. But, you know,
hey,
when you're a receiver, you got to
throw
the football a little bit.
Hey, we're hypotheticing.
Now, don't get me to rating his throwing, because there were some of those passes that were sailed on him.
Yeah.
However, it was fun to see Nick throwing the football to the fellas.
How about that?
Everything to help develop guys out here at training camp. Day 8, correct?
Yes.
Man, a lot of these in, man. We're starting to see a football team come together as some pretty solid run reps happening out here at the fields at the Houston Methodist Training Center for Houston, Texas Training Camp 2025. All right, team drills, or sorry, team period number one still going on out here. We're keeping an eye on all of it as we continue going. But coming up next, we should be sitting down with the owners of your Houston Texans, a very beloved group of folks around these parts. It's Cal and Hannah McNair. We will talk to them next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.